Whoa, pardon me. Oh, oh, gosh. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Oh, yuck, we're back. That's right, Goofsters. Can you believe it? We have returned, the Two Goofs podcast on a totally goofy hiatus. We were extremely sad not to be on the mic and talking to you about our experiences as costume characters. So it is with great excitement that I bring to you the Two Goofs. That's right. First up, it's your boy, Adam. And with me, as always, is the one and only Jeff. How you doing?
Always here.
We've always been here. We've just been waiting for the right opportunity. Yes. So we were looking back at this and we saw that it was in November of 2019 that we released our last episode. You know, we had our great odyssey of 11 episodes, a bonus interview, and a couple other exciting things we did, sharing our pictures of our time at the park in costume on our social media at Two Goofs Pod on Twitter. But then we disappeared. We promised a 12th episode someday, and yet that 12th episode, the mighty conclusion to the Two Goofs podcast, never came, but it's here now. And why is that, Jeff?
Well, it's interesting. I coincidentally happened to be re-listening to our podcast, which is completely unrelated to anything other than it's just a nice plug for our podcast while we're doing our podcast. But a friend of mine that I do another podcast with, Greg, he got 2 free tickets to Disneyland, 5-day park hopper tickets. So those are pretty big time tickets, but they're annual pass holders. So he said they had been sitting up on their fridge for like 4 months, and then they were like, hey, you know, do you guys want these? And I was like, what? So we have to like buy them a car or something to make up for it. But they just gave us these 2 tickets, so we were able to actually take the kids for the first time ever to Disneyland this last week.
Yes, so that was such exciting news. So we left off saying that our plan for episode 12 was that Jeff and I would get together, we would take our families, we would go back to the parks, and we would come to you and report of our experience. Well, some things happened in the world, you might recall, from 2020 to 2021, and so the parks themselves were closed for a great number of months, and then would open, and then would close again, and there was a lot going on with that, but also in the meantime, I moved to Montana, so I'm even farther away from California, and also, it just became a situation where the timing just never quite connected, and financially, it's quite an investment. Jeff said, you know, when it's free, you can do it. When it's not, that takes a lot of planning, and I don't know about you, but I had to put in a new fence at my house. That kind of ate up the Disneyland budget, but we'll get back soon enough, so we may end up doing an episode 13 when all is said and done. But so very excited for Jeff and his family to have made it back to the Disney parks. 5 days of excitement. Have you spent all 5 days?
Well, so what we did, because again, it was 2 5-day passes, and now we had another child, so now there's 4 of us. But thankfully, our daughter is 2, so she's still free for another year, but our son is 5, so we had to buy him a ticket. But they're doing a Southern California discount where you can get a 3-day ticket for a discounted rate. So we got him a 3-day ticket. She's free. So we've gone 3 times as a family. And then we're going to try and go 2 more times this weekend if we can find a babysitter.
Wow, that is, I didn't know they were still doing the Southern California resident discount. I thought it's such an exclusive ticket to even get into Disneyland these days. I can't imagine they would feel the need for such a promotion.
Right. The only way you can do it, the Southern California discount is exclusively on a 3-day pass, which I don't know how many, you know, Southern California people are getting 3-day passes, but it's still $199 for a 3-day pass with the Southern California discount. So, you know, it's an investment.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the last time my family went was 5 years ago. It's been five years since we've been to the parks, and we've also added another to our our brood over here, our goofy brood. So yeah, so it's going to be an even larger investment because he is three, and by the time we get there, he will be four. But this is kind of an interesting era to be attending the Disney parks, because a lot of things, again, have just changed in general, like season passes, there have been changes. There have been, you know, all sorts of reservation programs that are now in place. So even with these passes that you had and planning to buy one for your son, what was the process like for you, Jeff, in terms of just the planning of going to the park?
Oh, yeah, man. We had the 5 days and we got the 3 day for our son. So then the next step was, like you said, we had to make reservations. So we looked at, you can go on Disneyland.com and they have all the reservations that are available. Now, the interesting thing is Southern California passes are one park per day passes, whereas ours were actually 5 day park hopper passes. But the interesting thing is the 5 day park hopper passes are actually less eligible for reservations, because you could be going to both parks. So there's less days that you can choose from. And there's certain days where only certain parks are available. So our whole goal was, you know, knowing from working at Disneyland, we wanted to avoid summer like the plague. Like, no way we want to go in summer. So we were rapidly approaching summer, because the beginning of summer around here is really Memorial Day. So the end of May, we needed to beat the end of May. So literally the day my friend gave me those tickets, we hopped on there and we looked. I think it was a Thursday that he gave those to us. So we looked at them and looking for non-weekends and non-past the end of May, the only thing that was available was the upcoming Wednesday. So we had to kind of cram and be like, oh my goodness, well, now we've only got, you know, 6 days to prepare for this. So we ended up, yeah, getting reservations for the upcoming Wednesday, then the following Friday, and then the following Monday. So we went three times in a span of 6 days, because those were the reservations that were available.
Yeah, so this is kind of crazy to me because, you know, obviously, you know, we're not old enough to remember, like, the e-ticket days.
Right.
Where you literally were buying specific tickets to be able to get onto certain attractions. But, you know, in our era, it was almost like free reign, right? You just pay for your ticket, you go through the gates, and Disneyland is yours. And eventually, California Adventure is yours to explore. And very few restrictions, you know, Club 33 maybe being one of them, you know? And otherwise, you know, eventually they introduced the whole concept of the Fast Pass, right? So now the Fast Pass is this great new innovation.
Well, it's gone now.
Yeah, which is wild. So now that is gone. And so tell me specifically, like, how detailed do you have to get in your itinerary telling Disneyland where you were going to be throughout your day?
So not very. Like, so the reservation system, I was kind of expecting it to be like hour by hour, but it's not. You just reserve the entire day. The only thing that is time specific is if you have a park hopper, you need to tell them which park you're going to start at, and you're not allowed to hop to the other park until 1 p.m. So that's kind of the only, which we didn't do any park hopping, obviously, because again, our son's ticket wouldn't allow. The closest thing to itinerary-wise is what they turned the FastPass system into is called Genie Plus. And Genie Plus is basically the FastPass system where you can put your name in and it will give you a time and you get to go through the lightning lane and you get to come back and skip the line, basically. However, you have to pay an additional $30 for using Genie Plus. So
now
we didn't use that.
So does Genie from Aladdin appear in everything to do with the Genie Pass?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. Yeah. He's the logo and all of that. They don't make it as cheesy as, like, what would your wish be, my master? I will obey. Like, no. It's just the logo, but yeah.
Okay. Well, that's cool. All right. Now, because I have a friend who is actually going to Disney World this next week as we're recording this. And so he is just freaking out. And I don't know if it's because there are so many more parks at the Disney World Resort, but as far as his reservations, you know, in his estimation, he had to reserve everything, including going to the bathroom. That was his joke, you know? So he was just like, we've been planning this since, you know, March or whatever. You know, he's like, we've just been going through every detail. But yeah, so that's good to hear that it's not as complicated as I imagined. Because honestly, like when I started hearing about the reservation system and like my wife is saying, oh, we should take the kids. I was like, I'd love to take the kids. I promise the goofsters out there who are listening, I'm going to take the kids. But at the same time, I don't want to get there and have huge complications. So I'm glad to hear easy to handle. Now, the other question I have is, what were you most looking forward to as you were preparing to go to the parks?
Well, that's a multi-layered question. So I'm going to say looking forward to, in a weird way, I do look forward to the logistical challenge of making it work. So getting these two free passes, because here's the thing, and just to kind of get it out right here at the beginning, well, we've already talked a little bit about the financial concerns, is that, again, we ended up getting, you can get a discount through AAA, so it was a little bit less. It was $190 for my son's ticket. So $190, okay. But we're talking about 5 days, parking, plus food, still quite a bit of money. So I was, okay, how can we not spend $1,000 in 5 days? What's our strategy here? So I don't know if this is a, this seems like a hot take because, and maybe I shouldn't give away the secret just in case I ever do this again. So what I found, if you're going to Disneyland, there is the Anaheim train station, which is down by Angel Stadium and where the Ducks play, the Honda Center, I think it's called. So there's a train station there. We parked at the train station and took the bus from the train station. Free parking. $2 to ride the bus. And it was the best deal in the history of, like, it literally saved us time and was $4 instead of $30. So wow. I don't know why more people don't do that. And then I found out that they actually now, I don't remember this before, they do let you bring outside food into Disneyland. So we prepared ahead. We brought lunch and dinner and a ton of snacks. So we did Disney on the cheap, I'm proud to say. So that I was, it sounds weird to say I was looking forward to that, but it worked out really well. And there's, it's like Hannibal from the A-Team plan coming together.
So you haven't actually seen then if there have been any major additions to the Mickey and Friends parking structure and all of that, or could you see it from any vantage point?
Yeah, well, actually, and that's kind of how I know that the bus was such a great deal, is the first day my mom bought a one-day ticket to come along with us so that she could see her grandkids go to Disneyland for the first time. And she didn't want to do the whole bus thing, so she offered to pay for us to park at Mickey and Friends. So we dropped her car off at the trains depot, and then we drove and did the whole parking structure thing, which, again, man, you gotta wait in line just to park, and then you give them $30 and then you park in the massive park, then you have to wait for the tram, you know. bus my friends, we don't do the bus much in Southern California either, so maybe that's part of the hang up. But they did, at least since we've been there, they have one, I think they added a third section to the parking structure. I don't remember there being like a section over in that area. So it seemed like there was more space in the parking structure, which was already massive. But then they also created the onboarding place where you get on the tram is underneath the structure. And I don't remember that before, where it was much more like, you know, they had like queues and they were able to have people like moderate like who was coming through, and they check your bag at that point, I believe. Yes, because they don't check your bag. Once you exit the tram, yeah, you're already past the bag check. So I don't remember any of that from before.
Okay. But you said there's a weird excitement in getting all the planning done. But for you, what made any logistical complications worth figuring out?
Yes. Where's the Disney magic? So for me, I remember in my post-Disney days, which I think I mentioned on a previous episode, the best question I ever got about working at Disneyland was somebody asked me, they said, hey, I'm going to go with my kids for the first time. What should I do? And I was like, oh, here's my opportunity. And the answer I gave him, I still legitimately believe, you know, you walk in the gate and you just say, where do you want to go, kids? And so that was kind of what I was looking forward to, with the hope that they'd want to do the things that I kind of wanted them to do. Like, I really hoped that they were going to see Main Street and the castle and just be like, oh, I really hoped that they were going to see a character and get all giddy and like crazy. I really hoped that they'd see the train and they'd see. I kind of hoped that the rides weren't going to be the main draw for them. That's what I was hoping for. For me, that's kind of what I took away from the week, is that I feel like that did happen.
That is great to hear. So here's the other question, though. Is your wife as connected to the world of the Disney parks as you? Does she have a history that to her it meant as much as obviously for you, someone who went there as a child yourself,
right,
and then worked there for so long?
No. She grew up in New York and Illinois, so I don't think she had been to Disneyland before college. They had gone to Walt Disney World, but yeah, I think only once. So she did not, you know, have the familiarity with the park. She even asked our friend that gave us the tickets, like, assume I've never been to Disneyland, what should I do? And so Greg gave us some advice, which I was looking through this advice. I'm like, come on, Greg, seriously? Like, this is no way. But so, yeah, she doesn't have the Disney park connection, but she definitely has the Disney connection. Yeah, just the especially Disney Plus has been great. You know, we're on Disney Plus all the time watching movies. You know, she knows all the Disney movies just like I do. And the nice part has been, especially in anticipation that we wouldn't get to go to Disneyland, we've watched a lot of like posted YouTube videos about like the POVs going through a ride, or we even did the full walkthrough. It's like an hour and a half walkthrough of the entire Disneyland park. We watched that on YouTube. So there's some of that connection too.
All right. Well, now let's get into that first moment then. So taking the kids under the train tracks, through the tunnel, onto Main Street. What is the first reaction they get being inside a Disney park?
Well, the funny thing was, the night before, to kind of prep them, and I think I talked about this on our previous episode, there's a video game on Xbox called Disneyland Adventures, where it's supposed to be a Kinect game where you can, like, you know, the motion camera has so that you can physically do the actions, but we usually just use the controller anyway, where literally your character runs through Disneyland, and so you actually get to see it. So we had played that game the night before, and I had talked about, like, okay, we're going to go through, and this is what we're going to see, and this is what we're trying. So the very first thing my son remembered is that in the video game, just like in the real park, as you're traveling under the, like, the tunnel that goes under the train tracks, there's these posters on the wall. So that was the first thing. He needed to study every single one of those posters, because I think they were the same posters from the video game. Oh,
wow.
Yep. Here's the Haunted Mansion, and here's the, you know, the monorail, and here's this and that and whatever. So that was his first thing. And then the second thing is, we got to find a map, because my son loves a map. So we needed to find a map so he could tell us, you know, where everything was going.
That is so cool. So now, what about for you? What was the emotion you were feeling finally getting back into the park after so long?
I mean, there were a lot, like, especially over 3 days. I did reach one point where, to be honest, it was maybe 45 seconds, where I was just like, oh man, what if I still worked here? No, never mind. There was that little bit of nostalgia, which is funny. I remember when I left my last day, one of the schedulers, Christopher, he told me, he said, like, listen, couple of months from now, you're going to get the itch. You're going to, like, remember the days when you get to go put on the costume and stuff like that. Tell you what you do. Give us a call here and we'll figure out a way to, like, you know, get you in costume for an hour or something like that. And I never did. I never had that itch. But I felt at least, yeah, for 45 seconds. I would say the first kind of, like, emotion, I guess, was, so right as we found the map, we went through the thing, and as soon as we came in, I looked to the right, and there was Donald Duck. And so I stopped, And I was like, hey, come here. Look. And I pointed over and they saw Donald Duck and they froze. And they just, oh, it's Donald Duck. And that was the like, oh, worked. And then I looked over there. And this was the part that, and I'm sure we'll get into like character interactions, that really blew me away. In maybe the first 10 minutes, we saw the entire Fab Five there in Town Square.
Wow.
Standing right there in the middle was Mickey Mouse. We looked over there and we saw Goofy over by Mr. Lincoln. Pluto was over there in the corner. We saw Minnie Mouse and again Donald Duck. So like we saw all, not like, you know, there were lines and stuff like that, so we didn't get to go up and meet and greet with them, but we got to see all of them. And of course they wanted to run right up and no, we can't, you know, there's a line and we gotta, but you can stand here and you can look at them and stuff like that. So that feeling of expectation and hope, like, is it gonna happen? And then they were at least as excited as I was hoping they were going to be.
Now tell the listeners out there who may not recall why Donald Duck would matter to your son in particular.
Oh, don't make me do it. I just listened to that episode too, and it's weird listening to yourself cry on a podcast, because it just, you just start like talking like this. So well, and that's the thing too, even like when we recorded this, when we first recorded this, my son was 2 years old and he had been Donald Duck for so he was that Halloween, and then the following Halloween, 2020, he was Donald Duck again. And so that was his favorite, and one of my closest friends, one of my heroes really, was Glenn, who was Donald Duck in the park for 35 years. So there was that. I don't know that I experienced that, because obviously I knew that that's not who that was. And to be honest, I mean, that's been like 3 years ago, so my son doesn't quite have that same adoration as much. But yeah, you're right. That's definitely special.
But that's so wonderful that really the first thing you are experiencing as you go to the park is the characters, which means so much to us, and it feels like how it should always have been. Please tell me the Queen of Hearts was running around somewhere.
No, I did not see the Queen of Hearts.
Oh.
And I'm not sad about that.
But let's get into the character side of things a bit here, because obviously now you're, you know, got the big introduction, like you said, the Fab Five are all there. So who was the next character that you ran into in what scenario?
I believe was Captain Hook. So we saw all the Fab Five were there in Town Square, and then another one that I was kind of hoping for, the windows along Main Street, especially along the first store that are all decorated like different movies. I was like, I bet the kids are really going to be into this. And they were. They could have spent almost the whole day just going back and forth between those windows. So that was great. So then, you know, we finally make it to the end of Main Street and there's Plaza Inn. And so we saw in Plaza Inn, obviously they're away because they're doing the character dining still. So we saw Tigger and Minnie look like she was in maybe a photo location. So we saw them kind of over the hedge. And then as we were kind of heading towards the castle, we see Captain Hook kind of making a beeline past Snow White's wishing well and heading up towards the Matterhorn. So I'm, come here guys, look, who's that? And
it was, that's awesome. Okay, so now, like you said, you were mostly leaving it up the kids to kind of explore and see what they wanted to do. Was there anything in particular that mattered to you from a nostalgic point of view that you said, if they don't choose this, I'm going to gently nudge them towards this experience?
I don't think so, because it used to be back in the day when I used to sign my friends in, I always had the rule that we have to go and see the Country Bear Jamboree, which my friends always grumbled about because they're like, really? I'm like, because that was the nostalgic one. But since that's long gone, I don't really have something like that. The only thing for me was more the, yeah, wanting them to experience the things that I thought they would like. The one bummer, which I should say, is that we looked, even when we were looking into going to Disneyland, is that apparently Toontown is closed for a total remodel for the entire year. It's not going to open up until 2023. Because, yeah, that was, I was like, I think we're just going to spend all day in Toontown.
Yeah.
But it was closed, so that did kind of shift things. I had a hunch they would like It's a Small World, so we did kind of try and do that. Again, it wasn't much of a fight to get them to do any of these things. But especially my son, you just kind of guide him in one thing and off he'll run. So the one thing that kind of in the other direction, I guess, is that guiding him away from something. My son's favorite thing was walking through Sleeping Beauty's castle. We did that at least 3 times, and he wanted to go back for just like again and again and again. And finally, I mean, my wife was just like, no more. So
was it the stairs or was it the figurine animatronic little puppets in there?
Because he'd never seen Sleeping Beauty before. I don't know what it was, if it was the fact that it was dark. He didn't seem to even realize he was in a castle. Maybe it was subliminal. I don't know. But he loved going through the castle.
Wow. Okay. Well, that is a surprise for sure. Now, I know that one of the special things for you is that obviously meeting the costume characters as you did, you actually got to run in to some very close friends that you worked with for many years.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about that experience them recognizing you in that moment?
So it was funny, the day before we went, my coworkers were asking me, they're like, oh, so are you going to see people that you worked with? And I was like, no way. I mean, it's been 20 years and a pandemic. No, there's no way any of them are around or would remember me. But I figured I might as well, like, you know, check people's Facebook statuses or whatever. And so I looked at a couple of people that I'm like, this person might remember me. And I found like 3 or 4 of them that said they still worked at Disneyland. So I reached out to a couple of them through Facebook Messenger, and I heard back from 3 of them who said, yeah, totally. And 2 of them weren't working on that Wednesday, but one of them was. And they said, yeah, I'm working in Town Square. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, I think we, like, she got back to me as we were in the park. And I'm like, I think we just saw you. So then she said, I'm coming out on set at 11:15. So I think we were in Fantasyland. I'm like, hey guys, can we like run back to Town Square real quick? So we kind of dropped everything and we head back to Town Square and we were waiting there. And, you know, right when she came out on set, like we were standing right there. And that was the one. And especially because it was Dana that we had talked about in one of the episodes about how she was my adopted mom and, you know, the son and all that sort of stuff like that. And so that was emotional for me. You know, obviously we're not going to have a conversation because she's working and stuff like that, but I kind of squeezed her hand and I think I could hear her giggling. And yeah, just that was a real special moment knowing that.
I'm getting emotional just thinking about it.
And not only that, but
so
like,
special.
She'd never met my wife. She'd never met my kids.
Yeah.
And they don't know that they met her. But so that was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. So in that moment, though, I guess my question is, obviously the magic is so important to you and preserving that for your children. Like, was there a rule for your wife, for your mom to say, not say dad used to work at Disneyland? Or is that part of the conversation? Obviously not in the capacity you worked, but dad used to work here. Is that something you mentioned to them?
No, especially for my family, I don't think that would be of interest to my children. So yeah, that never came up. So that, yeah.
Wow. My kids are all about it. They're very proud of it. So they'll be talking enough when we get there, I'm sure. But yeah, so I mean, I just, again, just thinking of that is so fun. Yeah. Because like you say, we know so many of our friends that we worked with have moved on, you know, and some stayed there for many, many years after us, but then finally retired and got on to other pursuits and things like that. So the fact that Dana was still there is just so awesome. But now, as you guys were getting around and familiarizing yourself with the park as it is now, what surprised you most, or what was the biggest change at the park, addition or otherwise, that stood out to you? You're like, whoa, okay, that's different.
Well, so we did do, because we did, like I said, the 3 days, 2 of the days at Disneyland, 1 day at California Adventure. California Adventure is very different than like we talked about. Disneyland itself, I mean, that's part of what makes Disneyland Disneyland, is that it's not changed. There's definitely, I mean, like if you're really looking closely, and I remember I've seen pictures that like they've definitely redone the castle, so it's much brighter and the colors are much sharper than they used to be, but it still looks like the castle. It's still the iconic picture and stuff like that. We went over to Tom Sawyer's Island, and it is exactly the same. They added like a couple of little things here and there, but for the most part, like, it's exactly the same as it always was.
I'm surprised that still exists. That feels like that would be a liability, right? They wouldn't want at this point. Wow.
My kids love, I mean, my son could have run through that all day long.
And the canoe rides are still going on?
Canoe rides were still going. We went. One thing I realized in all of the years of both going there and working there, I had never been on either the Mark Twain or the Columbia. But we went and rode on the Columbia to go around the rivers of America. And same thing, I had never been on Casey Jones. And then when we went on Casey Jones, I realized why I'd never been on Casey Jones. So, you know, Casey Jones is the train that goes around Storybook Land. Apparently there's one train and it goes around and then unloads and then more people go on. So there's not multiple trains. There's just one. And so that line is the slowest line in all of Disneyland. So you look at it and you're like, oh, there's nobody in line, but it still takes 30 minutes. Oh, that was horrible.
Well, though, what about this? So obviously, like, you know, the biggest addition of late is the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, but that covered up a very special place that you enjoyed. I mean, it was something we talked about on a previous episode where the Hunchback show was performed and all that. Like, that is now some distant world in a galaxy far, far away.
Well, yes and no, because actually the specific area, it's actually further back. So I think what they did is, I think it's mostly they converted backstage area, because I think that pushes almost all the way out to the street now.
So Frontierland is still pretty much intact?
Oh, Frontierland, yeah. I mean, like, the Big Thunder Trail, it's not that it's gone, it's that it's changed into like Star Wars Trail or whatever.
Okay.
I'm sure they took some of the, because yeah, there was a bunch of, and I mean, if you think about, like, not only the big stage for Hunchback, but even, you know, around the stage, like we kind of talked about with all those trees and all of that, I think that's what they kind of turned it into. So, because yeah, I was thinking it was much closer, but it's a little bit of a walk. Because the one entrance is right there at the edge of Fantasyland. And then the other entrance is actually the end of Critter Country. So it's kind of, like, it kind of wraps around the rivers of America.
Wow, okay. So, but for you otherwise, like, it still felt like the classic Disneyland and everything was still in its place?
Yeah, I mean, well, and one thing too, even with Star Wars Land, I just listened to our DCA episode where we had somewhat unkind words to say about California Adventure, but in one reason why was pre-California Adventure, or as I've been reflecting on it, I might say pre-Michael Eisner. Everything Disney touched was like they would do it to 110%. Like, I mean, like, we talked about Toontown. The attention to detail in Toontown was spectacular. It was just like everywhere you look, which I guess technically Toontown was in the Michael Eisner reign, but all the little things that maybe no one would ever notice, they took the time to do that. And then California Adventure came out, and it was just like, I didn't see any of that. I just saw, like, such a lack of that it was so disappointing. But Star Wars Land is, I would say, a return, where it's like you look around and the detail, it feels like you're on another planet. It feels like you're in Star Wars. Now, granted, I talked to one of the character hosts at one point, and she was telling me the entire storyline behind Star Wars Land. Now, I don't know about any of that. They're like, oh, yeah, and then and here's the Resistance base. I'm like, how was I supposed to know any of that? There's no signage. There's no, like, I'm just supposed to guess this whole story, which, to be honest, feels very Star Warsian, where they're just kind of like, you know, you'll figure it out. You know, whatever. Like, both George Lucas and J.J. Abrams, you know, they think that way, too, so.
Now, obviously, you just showed your kids the Star Wars films, you know, over the last year or so, you know, where they really got the experience. Were they excited to be in that universe for a few moments walking through?
Yes, although not as excited as I thought they would be, especially my son is obsessed with Star Wars right now. So I thought he would just, like, have his mind blown, especially because the Millennium Falcon is there. He wasn't. I didn't think he was as excited as I thought. However, when we got there, we walk up to the Millennium Falcon, and it's kind of there, and there's like a little fence, so you can't like walk like right up to it. But he turns to the left, and there's Chewbacca and R2-D2 walking towards him. And he was just like, literally, I have this video of him. Chewbacca, you know, oh well, but R2-D2 is his favorite. So he, that was the one where he was, he literally like caught his breath. It's R2-D2. And yeah, that was a big deal. And then it was kind of sad because then they also had Rey, I don't even know, I guess Rey Palpatine. I guess she doesn't have a last name in the movie. But Rey was walking around and just, she kind of looked like Sleeping Beauty, you know, like one of those characters that one's like, who are you? Oh, you're not, wow, the big Wookiee guy. Like, she was just cruising through the crowd and nobody was really stopping her or asking for an autograph or something like that. That was kind of funny.
That's wild. Yeah, and I will say, so the last time I took my kids, surprisingly, what they walked away with as their souvenirs was my daughter got a stuffed BB-8, and this is before Galaxy's Edge or anything, obviously. Oh. This is 5 years ago, and she was only 2 years old. She wanted a stuffed BB-8, and then my son, he got a little die-cast Star Tours car, oh, you know, so that was very exciting for him, you know, and I just... It's so weird to think back in the day when all we had was Star Tours, and then eventually that very strange Jedi training show.
Yeah.
And then now an entire land. So before we leave the Disneyland park,
yeah,
and move into DCA, because I'm very curious about how California Adventure stacks up now, were there any other characters that you ran into and spotted in the park where you're like, oh, it's fun to see that, yeah, character out and about?
Well, and that was the thing, and we can talk about this more with DCA. I was blown away. I would say there are more characters in the park now than ever were when we worked there.
Wow.
Because honestly, and I think we talked about this on the podcast, I honestly expected that with the trajectory that the department was going while we were there, I expected every character to be in a photo location with a professional photographer and a queue and that whole thing. And that was not the case. Like, we walked into Fantasyland, and as we were walking up to where the Princess Story, whatever that, I think it's like a dress shop now where the Princess Stories used to be, as we're walking up to there, there's a crowd, and we can see Wendy and Peter Pan and Captain Hook and Pinocchio and Geppetto are all standing there, and they were trying to teach Pinocchio how to fly. And then they kind of dispersed. But then as we're standing there, we saw Merida from Brave. We saw Cinderella. We saw Snow White. We saw the White Rabbit and Alice several times. Oh, gosh, I don't even know if I can list them all. Again, even in Star Wars land, so we saw Rey and Chewbacca and R2-D2. Kylo Ren and Stormtroopers are out there doing, like, they're trying to recruit people to the dark side or something like that. Oh, gosh. Well, obviously, when we were in Critter Country, we saw Pooh Bear and Tigger and Eeyore. Man, I feel like, we saw a bunch of face characters. Merida was another one of those where, like, dude, she's literally walking around with a bow and arrow. Clearly she's somebody, but, yeah, nobody seems to remember her. So she would just, you know, she just cruise around, so.
Now, you haven't mentioned anything about Tomorrowland. Mm. Did you head to Tomorrowland? Is it in this kind of a nostalgic point, but not a destination now that Galaxy's Edge exists?
Well, the challenge for us is, I feel like the main thing in Tomorrowland is Space Mountain. And my kids, right, are too little to go on Space Mountain. So the bummer is, like, at least when we were there, which, you know, it's not summer, it's pre-summer, so things might be down, but I don't think so, because Captain EO, Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, whatever that is, that's gone, so there's nothing there. The Innoventions, that's gone, so there's nothing. There might be a Star, wow, Wars thing there. There's maybe a Star Wars store. I don't know, but it was closed.
That's crazy. So then you have the Finding Nemo submarine ride in that area.
Right, although that was closed for renovation. So that that was a buzzkill. So you still have Autopia, again, Space Mountain. You've got the Buzz Lightyear ride, and you have Star Tours. So, and then the Astro Orbiter. So there's still a number of rides. There's a number of closed buildings that do kind of make it a little bit of a downer, I guess. And it still cracks me up. The People Mover track is still there. 20 plus years since Rocket Rods closed.
Yeah.
But it's, they can't get rid of it.
You can still hear and now entering the world of Tron.
Right. Oh, if only. If only.
How about the arcade? Is the Starcade still there?
No, Starcade is gone too.
Oh, breaks my heart.
Yep.
Yeah, but I worry. I worry about, you know, Tomorrowland.
Right.
Like, is the Pizza Port still?
Oh, Pizza Port. Well, especially because it's the Pizza Planet now. Because it's like Toy Story themed.
That's cool. We're so old school.
Right. Well, because I mean, like, the Buzz Lightyear ride is still a huge hit. Star Tours, they updated. Have you been to the new Star Tours?
I got to go on it once. Yeah.
Okay, so now Darth Vader like tries to hunt down a spy or something
right.
like that. So yeah. So that was that, you know, that spiced that up a little bit, and then Space Mountain is still Space Mountain. So it still has some life to it. My friend's son loves Autopia. They go on Autopia all the time, which he's even like, really? You want to go on a ride to simulate sitting in traffic? But
is it still sponsored by Chevron?
No, it's sponsored by Honda now.
Oh. Well, so what I am anxious and hoping is something, because, like, we're on the eve, pretty close here, to this new Chip and Dale movie coming out on Disney Plus. And my favorite thing that I've talked about on the show is that I loved the Disney afternoon, like, you know, all the rides that they created and the experiences during that period. And I was just hoping that somewhere in that area, once again, over by the Matterhorn, that they would put the new facade on the Autopia, you know, they would get those boats out there again, get the gummy bears going,
yeah,
you know?
I would guess that they would incorporate that into Toontown. Maybe that's why they're part of the remodel.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, Chip and Dale have their tree over there, Gadget's Go Coaster.
Wow, that would be awesome. Yeah, I hope that is somehow a secret that they've kept under wraps and we're going to be surprised. But speaking of under wraps, the plans for DCA, you know, as they were originally, maybe somebody had a secret plan. Well, maybe in 10 years, maybe in 20 years, we will be able to turn this into the park it deserves to be. Now, I know the biggest thing there is Cars Land, but then all of a sudden, you have the Marvel characters coming in with the Avengers. So what would you say when you walk through the DCA gates? What is the thing that hits you first now?
Well, the one thing that is surprising to me, especially, it was funny. I was going through some of my old like memorabilia that I had saved from the Disney days, and I actually found my button from opening day at DCA. So I wore that. No one noticed all day long. Or if they did, I didn't see. Although that was the other thing is that we had just gotten into the hub area, and I had a sense. I'm like, it was, you know, the park had just kind of opened. So I'm like, I have a feeling if we wait here for a minute or two, Mickey or Minnie are going to pop up. And sure enough, they did. And with Minnie was a host that I remember being like the veteran host. Her name was Janelle. And I went up and she was telling somebody about like, well, I've been around for 45 years. And I was like, and she kind of gave me the light. I started talking to her and she's like, yeah, I kind of remember you, which I'm kind of like, that means you don't, but I don't, that's fine. I didn't work with you a whole lot. I knew you from Reputation. So.
Well, so and speaking of your wardrobe, though, Jeff, you were rocking your Two Goofs podcast shirt during this trip as well.
Yep.
Did any fans of the show give you a high five or
a
look?
Nobody said that. However, the one host that I started a conversation with did ask about it. And I said that, oh, yeah, it's a podcast, like, you know, from when we used to work there. Oh, is it on Stitcher? Yes, it is. So maybe she's listening to this one. So, well, that was the other part. I realized I actually don't have any Disney t-shirts. Like my son and my daughter, they have Disney themed t-shirts. So we had a different one, although he wanted to wear Star Wars ones. But so, yeah, so I wore a Star Trek shirt on one day. And then, the Two Goofs one. But I had the button. I wore a Goofy's Kitchen button one day. And then I wore the DCA one to go to DCA. So the big change, like you're saying, walking through the door is that they had one, and I can't quite remember what the initial walk was, but they have definitely like tightened it up because it's like it seems a lot more narrow. But then the sun wheel where you first go in, there's this huge open space that you get blasted by sun, like no more. There's a fountain. There's actually two fountains. There's all these trees. Like, there's not a whole lot of just empty space right there. They put a new restaurant right there. There's a statue of Walt and Mickey looking like they're, I don't know, catching a train or something like that. So yeah, so even that, I was just like, wow, this looks a lot busier. And I think actually that was a good table setter for the park, because I would describe the park, especially from 20 years ago, I would describe the park now as busy. Not necessarily people-wise, although, you know, there's still a good number of people there, but just like maybe scattered is a better way of describing it. Busy sounds much more positive than scattered.
Yeah, so that's very interesting. Did you have a destination in mind, or did your kids have a destination in mind where they're like, well, I know where I want to go.
Right.
Over here, Dad.
Yeah, no. The funny thing was, and I remember, so we tried to do like the full day. We didn't get there for the rope drop, but we got there maybe 30, 40 minutes after the park had opened. So normally, like when we went to Disneyland, we got there that early and we were like, okay, like, if there's a priority ride that we want to go on, now's the time to do it. So, like, we wanted to go on Peter Pan, for example. Always a crazy long line. So, we're like, we need to go on that, like, right at the beginning. So, we get into DCA, like, okay, we're early. Like, where should we go? Well, whatever. Like, we didn't. There was just not. I mean, in hindsight, we probably should have gone on, like, the Pixar shoot 'em thing. That probably would have been a good choice. But my friend Greg was actually coming to join us, him and his son. So we kind of wanted to wait for them. We didn't know what they wanted to do. So we just went right into Hollywood. Hollywood Backlot. There you go. So we just went in there, and then we went on the Monsters ride, which was another one of those, like, I really hope this is what they're into. Then we went into the animation building, and we stayed in the Colonnade or whatever, where all of the movies are playing, and we watched the entire rotation. And we were the only guests that did that, but I'm like, oh, thank goodness. Like, because when we used to work there, man, I used to do that day after day, where I could just sit there for hours and just, it's so beautiful. So I was glad my kids were into that too.
Oh, well, that's awesome. And I'm just imagining you on the Monsters, Inc. ride, and just, could you hear the ghost of Joan Rivers somewhere in there?
It's not even the ghost. Like, you watch it, and I was looking at this, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Remember, what was it? The Drew Carey was selling maps,
yeah,
or whatever? They just changed the animatronic. So instead of it being Drew Carey selling mats, it's a TDA guy who's saying, like, have you seen these monsters? Why does he have four copies of this picture? It's because it's the same animatronic. And it shows the guy, like, who was it? There was somebody who was, like, windsurfing on, or, like, with balloons or something, and now it's a TDA guy doing that. So it's a lot of the exact same animatronics, just with different skin on. I thought that was
pretty funny. Is Muppet Vision 3D gone?
Oh, yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah, too sweet of us. A tear coming from each of our eyes.
I know. I took, even my friend, even Greg was saying, he's like, oh, I missed that so bad. So it's kind of interesting what they replaced it with. Although the bummer is, so they replaced it with an all 3D movie. So there's no actual, like, I don't know, whatever we did, which was like 4D or whatever. So it's just, you watch it, and it was pretty cool. It was like Donald takes Mickey's sorcerer hat, and then he ends up getting sucked into all of these movies, like musical numbers. So you get to see, you know, like Coco's closing number, and then Donald's running through the background, and then there's, you know, then he's down under the sea with Ariel and like all that sort of stuff. So it was a cool kind of like Disney overview. But no Muppets 3D.
Oh, so speaking of Ariel, though, Ariel's Grotto, I'm going to assume, is no more?
Yeah, I mean, it's still, the building's still there. It looks like it's like fancy. I don't, there was a couple of restaurants that looked like fancy restaurants. That winery that has always been there still looks like a fancy restaurant. And I'm like, is this a fancy theme park restaurant? I don't know. I mean, we don't never go into those.
Well, and you sent me pictures of the wharf.
Oh, yes.
I cannot believe the wharf still exists, that they
let
that amount of property sit there. What was going on at the wharf? Because all I know is I could never get Chinese food there because the restaurant was never open.
The only restaurant that I saw was closed. Well, one, the Tortilla Factory is gone. Although I think it was gone. It's been gone for a while, if I recall. The bread factory is still there. You can still take a bread tour and get your little sourdough. But the only one that was closed, because I think I heard that it's only open on the weekends, is that Margarita, Rita's, or whatever it's called.
Uh-huh.
But that was there back in our day, too. But everything else was open and packed. You could not find a seat anywhere. Like, that's the eating place of California Adventure. So, man.
That is wild. Okay. So now I am very curious for myself. Speaking of eating, you know, my favorite place to go was to get a corn dog from the the corn dog castle. I assume that no longer exists, along with, are all of like the actual rides that look like they were part of a carnival on a pier gone, like the swings, like the little roller coaster, like, or are they still, is that still exist? The Zephyr, Golden Zephyr.
The Golden. I literally pointed that out. The Golden Zephyr is still there.
What?
In all of its horribleness. And I'm just, how have they not replaced? And sure enough, as, because if you remember, the thing about the Golden Zephyr was even the slightest hint of wind and they would close it down.
Yeah, it was the rocket rods of DCA, basically.
I mean, even less, like, meaningful. It was just like, And sure enough, we walked by and they're like, closed due to high winds. And we're like, high wind? It's just literally like, you know, a rustle in the branches. But the Corndog Castle is still there. They've turned, if you remember, that one roller coaster was called Mulholland Madness.
Yes.
And which, was just like the whiplash machine. So it's the exact same thing, but now it's Goofy themed.
Okay, so it's still the Goofy Sky. Okay, so that's still there. I have been on that version. Yeah, okay. So I was curious. Because, like, again, there's so much real estate there, and it just felt like they would want to be updating things more and more. But that's cool to hear that a lot of that is still hanging on. Plus, yeah, that Pixar pier, and I'm sure the roller coaster is going strong.
Yep, the Incredicoaster, and the one which apparently is the newest. Well, I guess they just updated Snow White, but the second newest ride in the resort is the Little Mermaid ride. I thought the Little Mermaid ride had been around for...
That's what I was going to say. It's been there a while.
Yeah, well, maybe that's just nothing else new. I'm like, finally, they figured out what works so well with the Haunted Mansion. Because what's so great about the Haunted Mansion is, you know, the ride part never stops. You're on a moving treadmill, and so it's just like... Yeah. So the line goes so fast, and that's how they built the aerial ride, where it's just like... The line just moves, and it's a really great ride that has all of the music in it. I was very impressed with the Little Mermaid ride, so I want to give a shout out to that one first. But
now you gotta tell me about this whole Avengers campus, because yeah, that is the big draw now. And I never thought in a million years in our time working there that the Avengers, any Marvel characters, I had hoped that area would have been the place where a costumed Rocketeer character would be walking around. And no such luck. Is there now?
Okay, so Avengers Campus. The funny thing was, even though I was, like, again, hold on. Let me double down and talk about, so we talked about Star Wars Land and how impressed it was with the detail and like, wow, Disney really does Disney still. Then we went, then we went to Cars Land, same thing. You go to Cars Land and it's like you stepped into Radiator Springs. Then you go to Avengers Campus and you're kind of like, which one? What are we going for here? Like, what is the Avengers aesthetic? What is the Avengers set going to look like? I mean, unless you want to make it look like you're on a helicarrier, that would be, and I mean, then again, it's just a lot of steel walls and girders and stuff like that.
Right.
So the actual land, I think, was very unimpressive. Like, I think they're working on it. Like, I think they built a Sanctum Sanctorum, or whatever it's called, for Doctor Strange. And that, maybe they're adding stuff as the new movies come out. But the stuff that they have, like, there's a big, I don't know, Tony Stark building with a Quinjet on top. Somewhat unimpressive. The Spider-Man building is really unimpressive. It's just a building that has been spray painted by Miles Morales. But there's nothing dynamic, I would say, about it. However, to compensate for that, or maybe not intentionally, but oh my gosh, it was swarming with superheroes. Like, we saw the Black Panther, we saw Iron Man, we saw Groot, we saw Captain Marvel, we saw the Wasp, we saw Doctor Strange, we just missed Star-Lord, I can never remember their names, the women warriors from Wakanda. They have like a show that they do where they come out and they train other people to be Wakandan warriors. Oh my gosh, like, that's what makes the land, is that they're just walking around and, you know, so yeah, that was pretty cool.
That's neat. And so now, Soarin' Over California, That has been replaced?
No, I'm sorry. Avengers Campus is right by where Tower of Terror is.
Oh, so it's there over where the Guardians ride is.
Yes, exactly.
But it wasn't that part of a Hollywood backlot? Like, so what did they cover over? The Bugs Life thing and the whole, like, farming area? That became Avengers Campus?
Partially. I think that's more Cars Land. If I had to picture it, I think, again, they've used backstage. Like, I'm pretty sure that's where our cafeteria was where is now Avengers Land. Well, and they have shut off, although I don't think that actually affected it, because I remember when you used to come to park at Disneyland, when they built the structure, it was pretty funny because they had that big sign right there on where Disney Way meets Catella. There was the big Welcome to Disneyland sign, and you could drive in there, but then the road would lead you all the way around the park to the parking structure in the back. So it was silly to come in that way, but they've closed that down. So I don't know if they took some of that space too.
So of the Marvel characters then, who impressed you the most, or was there a costumed character? Because I assume like most of them, that because Marvel, you know, the Marvel Studios thing is really not to have secret identities,
right.
You know, and stuff like
right.
that. Like most of them are face characters just interacting with you and talking to
right.
you. But what did you think about that experience and who was your favorite?
Yeah, I mean, that's very puzzling too. It was the same thing in meeting with Rey. Where, I mean, it's one thing to be a face character of an animated character, where that, like, makes sense that you wouldn't look exactly like the drawn version of yourself. You're the real version, and they drew you. But this, we've seen the real version of you. Like, that's Daisy Ridley. And, or, like, when we saw Captain Marvel, and it's just like, so, you're Brie Larson? Because you don't look like Brie Larson to me. Like, that's a little strange to me, the actual face character part of it. And same thing, like, we saw Black Panther, and I was kind of like, Black Panther looks a little short to me. Like, I don't know if it's... And that was the other thing, too, like, which is a little awkward, because, I mean, you could kind of see his eyes through the little eye thing. Pretty sure he was a white guy. And I'm like, that's a little... peculiar. So do you ask? And he wasn't trying to do a Wakandan accent either, but it's just like, so do we only cast black actors to be, I mean, why not? You only cast, you know, white actors to be white characters. Why? You finally got a black character, man. So I don't know.
Interesting.
That was a little peculiar. The one that has to be the most, I don't know if impressive is the right word, probably, but was Groot. Was clearly on stilts. I think he had, like, he must have, maybe he had a little, like, voice button, because he did say, I am Groot.
Okay.
Many, many times. But my favorite thing, I don't remember if I said this in a previous episode, but the advice that I got as a rookie, especially when I was in the Beast, and they said, like I was always like, oh, I'm getting swamped here, and, like, what do I do? And one of the veterans, who was, like, 6'5", he was like, dude, just go. People will get out of the Beast's way. And so that was great advice, because, like, when you get ahead of steam, no one's stepping in front of the Beast, man, because you're getting bowled over. And Groot totally did that. Like, when Groot was done with his set, he just kind of went, and then he just, like, started not sprinting, but just moving with authority, and everyone cleared out of the way of this, you know, 8-foot-tall tree coming towards you.
Well, what's wild to me is I'm remembering those tree plant guys at DCA
divine.
That used to walk around. Yeah. So I'm just imagining them doing a show with Groot someday, you know, like camouflaging him, and then they all break apart and Groot comes out doing, you know, one of his famous dance numbers, you know, like that would be awesome.
He did do the dance. That was pretty impressive. He did the baby Groot dance for someone was asking for. But I was telling Judy about Divine. And she was like, why? I'm like, I don't know the answer to that, but they did it.
That's for sure. Wow. I mean, that's the thing I'm probably most excited about just from the evolution of the parks is how much California Adventure has grown into a real theme park, not a random California tribute system. Like, it was so odd in its original incarnation.
Right. Well, honestly, though, I don't think that part has changed. Like, that was my...
Really?
Again, that's why I talked about it being busy or scattered, is that it feels... I mean, one, obviously, they haven't, like, they've added stuff, but the bones are still the same. Grizzly Peak is still here. It's still called Disney's California Adventure. It kind of feels like there's a lot more stuff to do, but there just seems like there's no rhyme or reason to it. You know, I'm in adventure, I've been in Avengers Land, and now I'm in Radiator Springs, and now I'm in a pier that's called Pixar Pier for some reason, and now I'm here's the Little Mermaid, and now here's a flying thing. Like, there's just no, the theme thing I think is what's really lacking, and I honestly don't know at this point how you get from here to there, because Disneyland is so brilliant, and it's just like, you know when you're in Frontierland, and you know when you're, and like the transitional elements and all that sort of stuff just work really well. And it flows, and yeah, DCA just doesn't have that, I don't think.
Well, with the Fab Five, you know, during our era, Goofy was wearing board shorts and a Hawaiian shirt. I mean, this was the tourist aesthetic. What are they dressing like now?
Oh, that's what I forgot to tell you. So there was always a, I think I heard this as a hypothetical when we talked about DCA opening. So I'm going to get to your answer. This is a long version of it. When we talked about DCA opening, it went from we want no characters to we want tons of characters, and then they kind of landed somewhere in between. Somewhere in there, there was the idea of they used to call it the ocean, which is the big water mass right in the middle of the park.
Yeah.
There was the idea of having Goofy and Max in a boat fishing. And I loved that idea. I was like, that would be the greatest set, because it would just be 100% pure performance. Now, in that era, be like, wait a minute, so they're not taking pictures with guests and they're not selling autograph books? No, that's not going to happen. So it didn't. But yesterday, we were walking by the wharf and we look up and there's Goofy fishing.
What?
All by himself. He's got a fishing pole with a rubber chicken on the end, and he's just fishing and waving at guests. And I'm like, oh, the dream has come true. Oh, magic.
That is amazing. Wow.
So that to say, Goofy was still wearing the same outfit that we used to wear. Mickey was wearing, it kind of looked like an old-timey train conductor's costume. I wasn't exactly sure what that was about. Minnie was dressed as maybe a 1920s flapper. Again, I wasn't quite sure what it was about, but it was great. It looked really great. I feel like Donald, because we saw Donald, we didn't see the whole five. Well, I guess, no, actually we did see the whole five, not all together. But we saw Donald, and Donald was dressed like Jughead, maybe, from the Archie comics? Or no, what was his name? Do you remember Bazooka Joe? Did you ever read those? What was his friend's name?
The guy who had the turtleneck pulled up under his nose?
Well, maybe not him, but so he had, you know, those little like paper crown looking things that they wore back in the like 20s.
Well, that's Jughead.
Okay. Yeah. So he was wearing that with like a white, like a blue vest or something. So I guess they're going for 20s vibe, but not Goofy. And Goofy was, oh, we did see Max. I forgot. Unrelated. They were not connected. Goofy and Max weren't together. But they were still both in their classic DCA outfits.
That is crazy to me that Max would still be there. Why? There's no Goof Troop. There's no, you know what I'm saying? There's none of that. And like, it's not been rebooted.
It's true.
That is fascinating. Yeah. Wow.
Goofy and Max together. I mean, maybe they were. Well, that was the one bummer. Other than that one mishmash of characters where they all kind of collided there in Fantasyland, we didn't really see any characters to, again, we saw a surprising amount of atmosphere characters. We saw Pinocchio just roaming around. We saw, again, we saw like, yeah, Geppetto and the genie. I forgot about the genie. We saw roaming around Disneyland, not California Adventure. Oh, so, and then the other ones too, back on the character train. So obviously we saw Woody, Jessie, and Bo Peep. I mean, that, I don't know if Bo Peep is an obvious one, but after Toy Story 4. But then they do have a new, I think it's new, In-N-Out ride. So we saw Joy and Sadness. So that was really exciting.
Wait, is that movie called In-N-Out?
Did I say In-N-Out? Inside Out. I'm sorry.
I was just like, In-N-Out is now has a sponsored ride?
Yeah, that's a very different thing.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, I actually was going to ask about those characters because I know that that is such a huge movie. Obviously, the big controversial one for whatever reason right now is Turning Red, which was very fun. My kids loved it, watched it multiple times. There was no giant red panda running around?
No, there was a couple of take your picture with this billboard. And same thing with Wally. Wally kind of gets the shaft, like, and my kids love Wally. But
yeah,
there's,
mine too.
There's a game and there's a billboard. And I even looked on Reddit and they said that, yeah, that's pretty much all. Oh, and then he's on the Sun Wheel. He's on one of the cars of that. That's the only places you can see Wally.
Okay, well, maybe when our society actually gets to creating the real Wally robots,
right.
Then it's only a few years off, I'm sure. But well, so this is so I love that your adventure is not yet over.
That's true.
You're literally in the middle of this experience. So what are you looking forward to next now as you go back to the parks? I mean, you've already done so much. What is the next experience that you're hoping to have?
Right. Well, it'll be interesting going, you know, just my wife and I. So without the kids. Because that was definitely, you know, one thing, you know, is a completely different experience and a wonderful experience, you know, getting to experience it through my kids' eyes. I took tons of video and all of that. And it was funny, too. I took a lot of video, especially we've watched all these video, these like ride videos of 4K, POV sort of stuff like that. All of my videos are just on their faces. So, like, that's what I want to see. They're kind of bored. They're like, why are they just looking at me, Dad? I'm like, well, because that's what I'm interested in. So, yeah, so I wouldn't expect the same sort of experience for my wife and I. I mean, definitely, I've heard from multiple people, you got to go on Rise of the Resistance in Star Wars Land. That's the big hot ride. So we'll definitely do that. We didn't get to do Soarin' Over California. Those are definitely some highlights. I would love to see Fantasmic because I don't think Judy has ever seen it in person before. And still nothing says Disney to me like Fantasmic. I mean, literally, I watch the video on YouTube and I get tears in my eyes. Like, I just, it's so everything.
You know what's
Disney
so funny
is.
To me, though, Jeff, is that Fantasmic, I sat and watched it once, but every other time to me, Fantasmic is everybody just hit pause. I can sneak through them and get on all the rides.
Oh,
and that is a nostalgic feeling for me, being in the dark, navigating through, seeing all these people staring at fireworks flying over, you know, and then I'm like, all right, I can get into Pirate. Let's go.
Well, for me, that was always the electrical parade, and which is back, by the way. They just brought it back to Disneyland, and which is a huge deal. There's the lines. People are lining up 3 hours before along Main Street so that they can get the primo seat. We actually have friends who are season ticket holders, and they were sitting there for 2.5 hours waiting to see the electrical parade.
Well, I have a special VHS commemorative tape that was released back in the day that I actually found in a thrift store a couple of years ago. So I've been watching that. That is a ton of fun, too, just to experience it that way. So, yeah, in person, once again, I haven't seen that since I was, like, 6 or 7, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with the video myself, but, yeah.
Well, that is so cool that you guys are heading back, and just wonderful to hear those experiences. So much going on, and so, yeah, I think that there is more to be told in this story, and in fact, as we have been talking, as you were sending me pictures from the park, you told me that you've been reinvigorated, you've been excited.
Yeah.
By the possibility of discussing the character experience once again, but maybe with an expanded group of hosts. So we're going to start reaching out. We are going to see if we can bring in, if not as hosts, at least as guests for an interview, some more of our friends who have moved on and had their time at the parks and had so many more experiences than us that they could add to everything that we've done. So this is the final of the original 12, but two Goof Season 2? Oh, I think there might be something in the works, so get excited, stay tuned, and yeah, we will be happy, happy, happy to give you the news of the next installment of the Two Goofs podcast. Of course, if it's been a while, or if you never followed us on social media, we are available. You can find us at Two Goofs Pod on Twitter. Our website is no more. There wasn't really a need after our initial run to keep that up and running around. But if you go to our social media, you can actually see all the pictures if you're binging for the first time. So we're excited that you've joined us once again. Of course, we are on YouTube as well, so you can find the Two Goofs podcast channel there and find the episodes to stream that way. So until next time, oh yeah, bye.